Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby, broadcast live to the cosmos on the Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Ann Saxelby. My co-host and producer extraordinaire is Sophie Schlesinger.
Hi, everybody.
And today, Sophie has really outdone herself. She has found the cheese lady. I thought for a while that might be my name because little kids in the neighborhood called me that, but it's not true. There
not
is
anymore.
The cheese lady.
Yeah.
And her name is Sarah Kaufman, and she's from Wisconsin, and she is a professional cheese sculptor.
Yes.
And we are here to talk with her today. But before we talk with Sarah, Sophie is going to rattle off some of Sarah's most amazing cheese sculptures to date.
So just a few to give you an idea. She's done a 6-foot-long aircraft carrier, a 120-pound Mickey Mouse, a 300-pound gorilla.
This is all made out of cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. Very important to remember. A 6-foot-long cheddar gator for UF and several TV personalities, including Jay Leno and Katie Couric. So pretty impressive.
That is absolutely amazing. So, Sarah, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am, and I'm trying to not laugh.
We are so impressed.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Those are all old ones. My goodness. I just recently was in Washington, D.C. for Veterans Day and did a 1,400-pound big statue of soldiers, the soldier carrying
Whoa.
The other soldier, the wounded soldier, you know, and the rescue carry, and the Beatles, and Nemo, and Toy Story 2, and Mater, the tow truck.
1,400
pounds. So those are some more famous movie stars.
Wow. And so what is the biggest cheese sculpture you've done to date?
The biggest cheese sculpture I've ever built out of chunks of cheese was 2,500 pounds.
What?
That was a 7-foot wide by 5-foot tall by 3 to 4 feet thick cow, the ever popular dairy cow. But that was for Indiana State Fair, surrounded by 4-H kids doing all kinds of their projects because it was the, you know, 150th anniversary of the fair and 4-H at the fair. So it was loaded with kids all over the place. But the biggest cheese I've ever carved on was 12,500 pounds. That was
what?
A big cheddar mammoth from Wisconsin. Yeah.
That was a single block of cheese?
10 feet wide.
Oh,
a little one.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
How do you even
yeah.
go, like, begin to carve that? I mean, do you use... I don't like what
a
kind
chainsaw?
Of tools do you use? Yeah, do you need a ladder? Like, how do you maneuver that
well,
much
the
cheese?
Big, that big 10-foot tall by 10-foot wide, 6 tons of cheese. I carved standing on the ground, and I carved more two-dimensional, like a bas relief. I carved a big dragon wrapping around the whole carving. And these cheeses are coated with wax, and they have the cheesecloth there in the wax. So I carved the design around the circumference and didn't, you know, carve the whole surface because that was just way too much.
Yeah.
But the cow itself, before I even began, I had to pile up 40-pound blocks of cheese, shave them square, butt them, put in some inner structures so that, because cheese itself, you can't trust it to just totally support itself and you're piling up 800 pounds of cheese. You know,
right.
That's a lot of weight. But first I had to build the wall of cheese before I even began the sculpture. So that was, I just stand there and still and I go, oh my gosh. That was 60 hours of just building the cheese wall before I even started finding a cow inside the cheese wall.
Wow.
So they're quite, it's quite the task on these larger sculptures.
Wow.
But I do dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of 5, 10, 15, 20, 40-pound, 100-pound, 200-pound carvings all the time.
Wow. And so The looming question in everyone's mind is, how did you get into this? Yeah. This is not a normal profession.
Well, Ann, I'm from Wisconsin. I'm a cheesehead. That really helps, and it really makes the story even better, because I always drew a lot as a kid, and then I went to school for commercial art and eventually became art director for the Dairy Farms of Wisconsin, Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, and that's where I ran into cheese. I really didn't think it up. It kind of found me, really, truly, because we, as the Dairy Farms of Wisconsin, we would do cheese promotion, and I would hire people to carve for us, for our events back at that time, and I just loved it when the carvings came in, and I got to do that. I've got to try that. So I tried a few, and then 15 years later, when I left the company, they hired me freelance. It was just a moonlight job, truly a moonlight job. I just did it when they called. I had plenty to do in my advertising world, but I would do carvings when they called, and that just grew and grew and grew till I quit my advertising job to do my cheese carving job. That was 6 years ago, and that's when I did the Gator and Mickey Mouse and Jay Leno and all the Today Show people and Rosie O'Donnell, Tom Cruise, Washington Lincoln, and every other CEO and CEO team in Mount Rushmore. You could name it. I could say, yep, did him in Mount Rushmore, did her in Mount Rushmore.
Wow.
That is amazing. So it's funny. It answers the quintessential question of every art student. You know, what do I do with my art degree? You obviously become a cheese sculptor.
Clearly.
I was an art student as well, actually, and I chose to be a cheesemonger, but cheese sculptor is a little bit more true to, keeping with the artistic practice. I really, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So
well, somebody said to me, when you carve a lot in grocery stores because it's a great hook. All that cheese carving is a big hook.
Yeah.
And it's theater and retail, as we say, and shoppertainment, and it's used almost always connected with cheese promotion, so that they come in and I'm carving and I sample and I have chunks to sell and talk about, usually Wisconsin. I'm almost always carving Wisconsin cheese, but cheese in general, and have them trial, have different flavors, or I talk about mild versus medium versus sharp, how cheese is made. In a lot of the case, those big cylinders are, very historic way cheese was made for centuries by everybody. And that's where it gets into the, we're all familiar with the 8 and 13 and 22-pound wheels. But when you get up to 75 pounds, 150 pounds, 300, 500, 1,000, 1,200 pounds, those were common sizes that cheesemakers made cheddar back in even Thomas Jefferson's time. They used those big wheels. They put them on the train, or the grocer had them and would cut and chunk and then, give you your 20 pounds to take home or your 40-pound chunk of cheese to take home because you didn't go to the grocery store every day like we do now.
Yeah.
So they're very historic, and it's cool. It's really cool to tell the story. And, of course, people are so amazed. Even when I'm doing 20 pounds of cheese, they're just amazed. But can you imagine when I'm carving 500 and 1,000-pound wheels and they just drop dead in their tracks?
The awe factor is amazing.
Not to mention, then they get to taste it, and it's awesome cheese. Awesome, awesome cheese.
Wow. So what...
I carve cheddar, but I carve other kinds of cheese I like to incorporate. Often, you'll see, the alligator have those big teeth of white.
Yeah.
And the big white eyeballs. I love to inlay the contrast for eyes and teeth and things like that. You'll see that. Or some of my collages have multiple kinds of cheese in. Because, cheese is bigger than just cheddar. It's a whole world of cheese out there. You know more than I.
Well, I mean, it's pretty amazing, though. I feel like in the cheese carving world, cheddar is king, because I haven't seen too many cheese sculptures made of anything else. I was wondering, who commissions you to do these amazing works?
Well, I am commissioned a lot by Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, and I'll go in and do promotions at all the grocery store chains for grand openings or big cheese events. In the case of the Wounded Warrior sculpture, I was commissioned by Bastards Gallery Cheese in Wisconsin, who does all the private label cheese for Harris Teeter. So I was there on behalf of the Harris Teeter, Harry Case Cheese, and Massey's Gallery. Sometimes I'm hired by caterers, or in the case of, well, I did this 6-foot-tall astronaut a couple summers ago. That I was commissioned by Wisconsin Milk Market. He partnered with the Historical Society in Ohio, in Wapakoneta, Ohio, where Neil Armstrong was born. So I did this 6-foot-tall astronaut in the grocery store so everybody could watch as I carved and taste the cheese, and, you know, everybody could watch the progress. And then the cheese carving was, we moved it over to the Air and Space Museum for the big celebration.
Wow.
And then, oh boy, the throngs of people came through that day because everyone just has that amazement for the astronauts who walked on the moon.
Wow. And
so,
mostly
Gary Promotion groups.
Do you
carve for Indiana State Fair, New York, carve for the Southwest Dairy Farmers, I carve for Columbus, New Mexico Dairy Farmers. It's usually milk and dairy promotion.
And I was just going to ask, do you mind people watching you while you're carving? Does that,
Well, no, you know what, it's weird, I got over that somehow a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it's much more fun to sit with a group of people than to sit in a back room all by yourself for days and days and days.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I like to talk, and having been in advertising and promotion for years, I understand why you deliver a message. So I'm always talking about, it's a curiosity, how milk is made, how much milk it takes to make a pound of cheese, the craftsmanship, the heritage, nutrition, all kinds of stuff to talk about. And the people love it. And I guess it's just, try to shut me up.
Now, what can you tell us a little bit, what is the tradition of cheese carving? I mean, it seems like a really American thing. Do you know a lot about the history behind it?
Wow. I just don't know too much history. I haven't seen it. I know we had some carvings that were done for Wisconsin in my day, in the 80s. Previous to that, I can't imagine that it wasn't done, but it seems to have appeared, and I think Wisconsin was the big proponent of it and had branched off into training and education series for chefs and deli ladies and deli people to use cheese as a promotion tool and or, again, as a decoration for a buffet. And it's a great way, a very tasteful way to get your message in or a logo in or, again, delivering a message without a paper sign. And it's so intriguing, and I think part of it is because it's so perishable.
Yeah.
You know, you could do it in tallow, you can do it in lard, you can do it in plastic, you can do it in wood, but something about that, the perishability, that makes it, like chocolate and the delicacy of pulled sugars, it's very fragile.
They could, I think you could, you have one up on the flour industry now. You could have like a campaign, say it with cheese, and just,
hey,
this
is cute.
Yeah.
I got a call from a man who saw my website and said, say, my wife loves cheese and my wife loves sushi. Can you make cheese sushi?
Oh my goodness.
So we ended up carving an actual sushi size plate, a rectangle. And I said to him, you want a cheese plate too? So I took colored cheeses and some pink port type cheese and made a shrimp. And I used white little cheese to look like the rice bed and did rolls of different colors of cheese to look like pinwheel, like a California roll. And so in that respect, that was great. It was like flowers. It was a gift.
Yeah.
And
Much tastier.
Many cakes for weddings. Cheesecakes.
Yeah.
There's no end. Well, we are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I have a million more questions, as I'm sure Sophie does. So stick with us on Cutting the Curd. We'll be right back.
Thanks.
Thank you.
behalf of everybody at HeritageRadioNetwork.com, we'd like to send a special thank you to the Hearst Ranch, our biggest supporter and longest-running sponsor since we first started in 2009. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, visit www.hearstranch.com.
And we are back on Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Ann Saxelby. My co-host is Sophie Schlesinger. And our guest today is the cheese lady, the yes. one and only Sarah Kaufman from Wisconsin. So, Sarah, first off, if people want to learn more about your work and see your beautiful sculptures, do you have a website or anything where people can find you?
Yes. Please go to my website. It's Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, SarahCheeseLady.com. And if you just Google cheese sculptures, cheese carving, I pop right up.
You've got the market cornered.
Yeah,
I think I'm about the first 185 stories under that caption.
Yeah,
and there's a couple other. There's another person, funny enough, in the small world of cheese carving, there's another Sarah who carves cheese, and she now lives in California. I mean, she's from California. Huh. Sarah Knapp. She's been carving cheese, and way back when I worked at Wisconsin and what they would hire cheese carvers, she was one of the people that carved cheese for us back then. And I still run into her now at shows, but it's Sarah Kaufman, it's Sarah Knapp. We're going to have to get together and do a dynamic dual carving, I think.
Yes, and I think there's
what a small world, and we're both Sarahs.
Yeah, and there's a butter sculptor, too, named Sarah, who I believe is in Iowa. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, she's famous because she took over the role of Duffy,
right?
This lady, who Duffy Lyons, who passed away recently,
right?
And yeah, she was understudy for years, and her name's Sarah.
Yeah,
so she's a butter sculptor, and there's another one named Sue Borman, and I used to be Sarah Bauman, and there's another Sue, and our names are so similar that it's. I have to laugh.
Wow. And so who was your mentor? Who really showed you the ropes?
See. Yeah. Two people. One is Alan Hendricks, and we would hire him to carve for us at Wisconsin, and he would carve at trade shows and still does a bit. But he's a chef, a big foodie, and he's where I got inspired and saw him do a lot of carvings. And that's the other lady, Nancy. We can't think of her name. Nancy.
It'll
Nancy
come back.
Amazing.
It'll come back.
Yeah.
So that's incredible. So how long did you kind of practice your craft before you felt comfortable, going out there and being like, yes, hire me. I am your cheese sculptor.
Let me tell you, it's funny. The very first time I ever carved, I shipped it off to an event. I had done when I was the art director at ADA, the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, we did a slideshow back in the olden days when you'd have an actual slideshow that went ka-ching, ding, ka-ching, ding, slideshow, and I needed to do the title slide. So I carved a wood cut. It looked like a wood cut. And I carved it out of cheese, the art of cheese making. And that was the title slide for that. That was in 1981, way back then. And then the next time I carved for some trade shows for us, just sitting around. But then when I got my first job, my first freelance job, it was for Wisconsin. And they said, here, we're sending you a block of cheese, carve it, here's what we need, and send it. That was it. I never practiced. I always just sketched on paper, and it comes from years and years of drawing. Mm-hmm. But the alligator you're talking about is very, very new. I mean, very early in my career. The aircraft carrier was early in my career. Mickey Mouse, 3-foot-tall Mickey Mouse, that was early. I dug in. I don't know where it came from.
Wow. Because I feel like drawing is so different from sculpting. I mean, I don't have like a fine art background, but I feel like to take something three dimensionally must.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
There's a leap. There's a leap.
yeah.
Leap of faith.
And when I do these big things, and you have to not just. So I'll sketch your profile, left side, right side, back, front. And I'll think about it on paper. Where does this come out in this grid? And you're not just talking about front and side. You're talking about 6 feet of cheese, and it's a rectangle, and inside there is the Wounded Warriors. And it's like this, you have to mark on each side these anchors. Like the head comes here, this head is there, the shoulder is here, this foot is here, and you mark it, and... I don't know how I do it. I think when you draw a lot and you draw realistically, you look at what you're drawing, if it's a chair or a pillow or a head of lettuce, and you have to, you look at it and you realize it's not just flat. You feel the ovals, you feel the up and down of the leaves. And
right.
It just, to me, comes from knowing your shape, knowing foreshortening, knowing studying that shape, thinking about that shape. And then I always say I'm going to do a mini sculpture to practice, and I don't.
You just go for it.
Well, you know, and it's a little scary. As I say, I get up with that big pile of cheese, and I kind of dance around it a little, and I feel it, and starts talking to me, I think. It's a leap from that paper to finding out where. And when I do it on grid paper. I do a drawing on grid paper, and then I blow it up to 1 or 2 inch grid, and then I try to stay that very true to that guideline. As well, it's 10 inches in, and 4 inches this way, and 6 inches that way, and I try to stay very true to my pattern, and that's usually. My safety guide is stick to your pattern.
Yeah. Now I have.
Well, because all of a sudden you might cut away somebody's nose. I almost cut off Santa's nose one year. I got a little excited and was digging away and went,
oh no.
Oh, I'm doing good. And then, whoa.
Can a toothpick
luckily,
fix that?
I had not cut off Santa's nose.
Thank goodness. All the kids would be really disappointed.
Yeah. That was a 6 foot Santa. That's a pretty big nose.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, what happens to the cheese after you carve it? Is it made into, like, giant macaroni and cheeses somewhere, or what happens to
99%
it?
99% of the time when I carve, the carvings are eaten.
Wow.
A fractional amount are, you know, used on display for a long time, and then they either dry and get too crackly, or they're in a grocery store case and for a couple of weeks, and they will... All of a sudden, with the lights, the fluorescent lights will boink. One day, it starts turning a different shade. You can just see it. And then, at some point, 3-4 weeks, it molds. Now, the big ones, I take a lot of the main big cheese immediately off the sculpture and bag it. And that goes to soup kitchens or food pantries, and it's cut up. Served or you know, chunked and given to people to second harvest type situations. And in the case of the gigantics, the cheese itself is picked up by a farmer or two after, and chopped up and served to animals. I mean eaten by animals, not served, but often pig farmers will come and chop it up and serve it to their pigs.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So it doesn't
granted,
go to waste.
You know, it's not eaten by human animals, but a lot of cheese trim in the industry, in the cutting plants, that trim is used to make cat food, dog food, pig food. It truly is, and it's we've come leaps and bounds for our feed for dogs and cats, where, you know, it's now nutritious. It's not just empty fillers. Cheese and dairy is a big byproduct used in cat and dog food, in the gravies, as a binder, as a filler, a nutritious filler. So, you know, okay, 2 640-pound blocks. This last job I did, I probably 350 or such of that went to the kitchens, and then the sculpture, what was left, was served to animals. So in the world of volumes of cheese, when you think about 640-pound blocks cranked off the assembly line at these big cheddar manufacturing plants, crank, that's like a little tiny cheese curd in a mountain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's huge volume.
Interesting.
Huge volume in America.
Who knew? Yes, who knew? Is. Everyone, you know, our pets got to enjoy so much cheese. So what?
Yeah.
I have
640-pound blocks.
Hopefully not all at once.
That's the norm.
Yeah. Now,
some of these cheese plants. There's a plant. Well, there's many of them. One plant makes nothing but mozzarella, and they crank out gigantic volume. And all the milk and all the cheese they produce is used in manufacturing of pizza. That's only one little plant, which is a gigantic plant. So, you know, we're speaking volumes and volumes and volumes of cheese.
Wow.
And to think that 1 pound of cheese equals 10 pounds of milk.
Yeah, no, then the volumes grow to universal proportions.
Yeah.
So, let me ask you this. What is the future of cheese sculpting?
Yeah.
Do you have an apprentice? Do you have young people who want to learn this craft? Are you passing your knowledge along?
Well, I have to. I need to because, I'm 59. That's young. I've got a long,
that
long
is young.
Way to go.
Yes.
But, you know, it's quite arduous day after day. And when I carve at the fairs, I'm there for a week. And just like the Stuffy Lions had an apprentice, I need to get some apprentices. I have one young girl at Indiana who helps me, and she's a very good sculptor. And but she's going to go on and be a botanist and a biologist. She's too brilliant. But, yeah, I need some apprentices. And, you know, it could be somebody young. No, it could be somebody older who's on a second career. And it's like, oh, I could do that now. I have time to travel. I have time to. Somebody who doesn't want to travel, but they could do sculptures and ship. I carve and ship from home a lot, and I certainly have a need for some support in that department.
So if you're listening.
Yeah, if you're listening, if any of our listeners come across this show, please contact Sarah because this is an amazing, and I feel like really uniquely American art.
Yeah.
Take some commitment. Number one, you have to be patient.
Yeah.
Number two, you have to be able to draw. Number three, it's a project.
I'm sure attention to detail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Willingness to stick
and
with it.
Yeah, I'm very picky.
Yeah.
I'm going to be very picky if you're carving for me.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it can't happen, and it should happen. It needs to happen. I need help. I'm basically booked every week of the year and sometimes more than 1, 2, 3 jobs.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, you know, being realistic.
And in this economy where everybody needs a job, you know, if you've got more work than you can handle, that's a great thing. That's really, really great.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have to be sincere, and they have to be usually the next step is then you're needed to carve on location. And then you have to be of a mindset that when you deal with the public, it's different. You are on stage. Every word that comes out of your mouth is positive. You have to go through a mindset training.
Yeah.
And
you have to know a lot about cheese.
Yeah.
Like you said, you have to know a lot about cheese. So you can tell people what it takes to make a 1 pound of cheese.
Yes. Yes. And some of not just where you just read it and retort it. It's like you cheesemongers, you can see this connection and you feel this connection. Every kind of cheese is a story, and it's a very cool, interesting story about dedication and love and skill and science and taste and if you're in the right mindset, it's exciting.
Yeah,
very exciting.
Yeah,
and who you discover all these new cheesemakers who are so passionate about.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it looks like it always happens too fast, yeah. But it looks like we've run out of time on today's show. But thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us about your craft. It's been really, really fascinating. And I look forward to seeing everybody next week for another episode of Cutting the Curd.
You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby, broadcast live to the cosmos on the Heritage Radio Network.